You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Ian Dynamo Kelly. Welcome to the latest edition of Dynamo's Dozen with myself, Darren Marr, taking over from Ian this week. This week we have a very special show. We're going to be talking NFL and the free agency. Week one into week two that has happened over the last 7-8 days, because it's the only bit of sport we've actually been able to follow. So we're going to be talking about big moves, big trades, big free signings, and see who's left in the second part and where they could possibly go. I have three people on the line here to chat with me. First of all, I have Dara Lyons. Dara, how are you?
I'm not too bad, chilling in quarantine, you know.
I'm going to get this out of the way first, because I'm also Dara, so I'm going to be number one and you're going to be number two for this podcast, sure. Okay?
Sounds good.
I got Fionn Molloy. How are you?
How are we?
I'm good. Good to have you on. And of course, we have Nico. I should have asked you before this. Is it Derrico?
Derrico. The accent in the middle, brother. What's up?
Should have asked beforehand. Shows my professionalism, but sure, we'll go on anyway. We are going to be talking free agency, and we're going to be talking some of the biggest deals that have happened over the last week. And I think the first place to start, and I think we're going to call this section the Tampa Brady Buccaneers.
copyright that shit.
Going to copyright. That's terrible. Yeah. Tom Brady signing a 2-year deal to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, finally leaving the New England Patriots. The dynasty is officially dead. Lads, good signing, bad signing? What do you think?
I don't think it will shake up the NFC that much. Obviously, it's going to be the Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are going to have way better numbers with a quarterback like Brady throwing. But I don't think they're going to take over the NFC South by any stretch. I think that's purely the Saints division, regardless. It's a pretty good signing. It's not a bad move by the Buccaneers by any stretch.
Well, I'm going to come straight in and disagree with Dara from the beginning. I do agree with him. It's not a bad move whenever you can get a guy with 6 Super Bowl rings or 5 Super Bowl rings. That's never going to be an issue. But in terms of the production level the guys are getting, I just don't see how Brady's going to do that. I think everyone expects to plug in and all of a sudden you're going to get a Kansas City Chiefs offense that launch the ball down the pitch every chance they get. And Brady, for the last probably 3 or 4 years, has shown that that is not what he does. He manages the game, he checks the ball down, he uses his running backs, he uses his tight ends. And so I don't see that, not that he can't throw a deep threat, but that's not what he's going to look for. If that thing's not on within the first 5 seconds of the play, he's not going to run around, make some time, launch balls, no-look passes, all that stuff. That's not what he's about. He's a check-down artist. He in the defense, he just puts it where it needs to be and he lets the receivers do what they want with it after that. Like I said, it's not a terrible signing anytime you can get someone who game manages it, but I just think the playing style don't gel well if you're expecting those two wide receivers to go deep and have 1,000-yard seasons each. I don't see that happening.
Well, I think Godwin is that type of wide receiver on the, out of the slot. One thing that Brady has always had is one guy that he can go to, whether that was Moss or that was Gronk, and the Patriots refused to give him someone like that this year. And now he has that in Mike Evans. So if you can go to Mike Evans 3 times a game and he can give you a 20-yard reception, that changes the game. That's how they won the Super Bowl against the Rams, and that's been the MO for the Patriots for years. But can we please talk about the most interesting part of this, which is the Brady and Belichick relationship, because that's 95% of this. I don't think anyone did this deal for football purposes. I don't think the Buccaneers are going to be Super Bowl contenders. No. I think they're going to be better than they were last year. It's definitely an upgrade from Jameis Winston. We can talk about Brady's arm and how, if you remember Peyton Manning's arm, he fell off all of a sudden. Nobody expected it, and all of a sudden he couldn't throw out. That will happen to Brady eventually. We don't know when, but this is not a football signing. This is about, you know, the lifestyle difference and the fact that he's had this bad relationship with a father figure for 20 years, and all of a sudden he's ready to leave the house and do his own thing. And guess what? The Buccaneers, and I sound dirty saying this, they're going to be better than the Patriots next year.
GP, so I completely disagree based on what I said about Brady being a game manager. You can find a replacement quarterback to fit. I think the system is more important, that you get a quarterback that plays well in your system. I don't think every quarterback plays well for every team. I think it's easier to find a Brady-like, you're never going to get Brady ever again, but a Brady-like game manager who can do the check down, rely on the run game, make the shots when they're there, and just don't turn over the ball so much. So I don't think necessarily the Patriots have a massive drop-off, but I also don't think, like you said, I don't think the Buccaneers are going to go in the Super Bowl this year. I don't think they're going to have any massive jump. For a start, they're not going to have 30 interceptions, but they're not going to have a 5,000-yard season out of Brady. I think that's a fact. So
this deal gets done because the Buccaneers, for the first time in their existence, can sell season tickets, and all of a sudden are relevant and are going to sell jerseys. And Brady just wants to spend his last 2 years potentially somewhere where he's actually having fun and not having to fight everybody.
And that's a
Belichick. At the end of this year, Belichick will look better than Brady, 100%.
It's a brilliant point that Nick brought up, that it's not a football signing. He forced it there. It was like, people are going to buy more tickets to see Tom Brady. So it's really a business signing if you look at it. Like, you're going to bring bigger audiences to Tampa with it as well. And as well, Fionn as well with the brings up a brilliant about systems. I think it will answer the question, is Tom Brady a system quarterback? And I always have, like, people say haters, or they would say, well, it's a genuine fact, and they try to put stuff behind it saying, oh, Tom Brady's only good because he's in Belichick's system. It'd be interesting to see, will he fit Bruce Arians' system? Will he, like, perform as well as he did, like, with a different system?
Yeah, well, I think we need to give Bruce Arians some respect. This is the guy that made Ben Roethlisberger. This is the guy that made the Arizona Cardinals relevant. This is the guy that made one-eye Jameis Winston. When Jameis Winston signed in Tampa, he saw the logo and he saw the Buccaneer with one eye and said, okay, I'm going to play with one eye as well. And the guy threw 30 and 30. It's not the title of a documentary. It's his TD to interception ratio. So if Jameis Winston can give you 30 a year, I don't know what Brady can do, but probably better than that. I think for a year or two, Brady will look better. But if this is in my best dream, this is the long con, and Belichick wants to tank next year and get either the Sean Watson in free agency exchange for a good couple of picks or a contract, or go get someone in the draft. There's a couple of good quarterbacks 1-2 years from now. So if that happens, Belichick's the winner. But I mean, it's too early to say, man. Again, I don't think Brady's going to win anything in Tampa, but I don't think it's about that.
There's an interesting point that you said at the start about with Brady and how he likes his check down to his running backs. Tampa Bay don't really have that sort of James White running back at the moment that he can check down to. So he might be forced to take these longer shots, which we have talked about, that he doesn't have his arm anymore. So is there a risk that we could see, I don't think we're going to get another 30 for 30, but another situation where we're going to see a lot more interceptions and a lot more, I don't know, just seeing, exposing Tom Brady's probably arm weakness at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I think Nick pointed out earlier, he's not going to a team with no wide receivers. He's got Godwin and he's got Evans. They're great wide receivers. They'll catch passes 10 yards, 20 yards down the pitch. Like you said, you're just not going to have that 50 yard, that deep ball. So I don't think necessarily it's going to add to more interceptions for Brady. I think it's going to lean more towards Tampa Bay not being as explosive. They're, like you said, Arians is a good coach. Tom Brady is essentially a coach on the field. Their offense will not look like what it looked like last year. They don't have that check down, so they'll build it into that short intermediate routes, really rely heavily on those, get Brady loads of reps, get him right on his time, and I think that's where they'll really put their game plan to.
Just speaking about the offense, this is pure speculation. I've only seen rumors about it. AB to the Buccaneers. What, like?
No.
Do you think Brady will be able to get him in the
fall? No way. AB's done.
How many chances does he need to get?
Pure speculation. I mean, I think I did see something that Arians wouldn't have him because Arians was a coach in for the Steelers at the time when AB started to kick off, and he described him as a diva. But I don't know, would you try to put aside that to think what production you could have with AB? Like, I mean, he did shine a bit under Brady before all the drama kicked off again.
Well, to be fair,
think Brady can bring him into the fold?
He's too busy trying to organise a fight with Logan Paul at the moment to actually think about football.
Logan Paul would murder him.
He probably would.
Logan Paul is a legit wrestler.
Yeah.
Fuck him up.
He probably would. But in terms of AB coming back into the league, I can never see that happening again. Like, he's done.
He's really just not worth it for anybody at the moment.
It's too much personality drama. Like, it's all like, it's gotten to the point where it's obvious like that he's not worth his skill, whatever is left of it, is not worth his drama, his locker room attitude. Look,
wide receivers don't win games. Running backs don't win games, and there's like 50 decent receivers in the next draft.
Exactly. Heavy receiver draft, yeah.
I don't know why you would pay anyone $1 million, let alone, you know, CTE, AB. You know, like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the magic Panadol you're going to have to buy as well to deal with the headache is just, it's not going to make it financially viable.
Yeah.
Regarding the design of the offense, I think, you know, Bruce Arians will set it up in a way where Brady can dink and dunk all he wants. And one thing that he's also going to have this year is a competent defense, and Tampa Bay has that. I know that there are many explosive offenses, particularly in the division, but Tampa Bay has an underrated defense. They have a good front, and they're going to keep signing veteran guys. That's another thing that Brady gives you. Not everybody wants to play in Tampa Bay. 3 months ago, Tampa Bay called you, you need to pick up the phone. So now that Brady's there, everybody wants to be there. So they're going to be in a lot of close games, and Bruce Arians will make Brady work. One thing that I'm scared of, and I don't want to turn this into a Corona conversation, but OTAs may be reduced. He may not get that many reps before the season. So will they be able to? They're gonna have some iffy games in September, and they may look terrible in offense. But I think they will fix it, and it will be a 7-9, 8-8 team.
Brady has a history of getting better as the season goes on. There, two or three seasons ago, where he had literally a team full of rookies for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season with Edelman out. And he wasn't happy on the sideline. He was throwing helmets and everything, but they got the job done. And I'm pretty sure he can be almost guaranteed they made the playoffs that year despite that. So I don't think he's going to be too worried. I don't think the Buccaneers will be too worried. It'll be a slow start, but he'll get motoring.
Okay, so we'll move on. And we'll go actually to the rest of the NFC South, because we're going to have an interesting quarterback battle now this coming season with Drew Brees at the Saints, Matt Ryan at the Falcons, who's now being backed up with Todd Gurley. Also has Hayden Hurst coming in at tight end, and the signing of Dante Fowler on the defense, and also Teddy Bridgewater now at the Panthers. And I think, who was it? It was a PJ Walker has just been signed as well from the XFL to be backup. So is that going to be the toughest division to get out of next season, do you think?
Yes, sir. Best conference in football, I think. You know, on paper, it is the best conference in football right now. We'll see when the season starts. Sounds weird saying it, but I think it is the best conference in football.
Definitely.
I want to know, does Dante Fowler fix the Falcons defense? Because it was abysmal last year. If he fixes it, which I'm not convinced he will, then I think it gets a lot tighter. Otherwise, I think we can rule out the Falcons. But what I did find most interesting about the Falcons was not necessarily who they signed, but where he came from in Hayden Hurst coming from the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, last year they ran a lot of that two tight end stuff and it worked really, really well. And no one in the NFL knew how to stop it. And to me, it's a head scratch. You would let one of your really good tight ends go use so many tight ends.
Because they have three, they had three good tight ends, and they got a second round pick, and that's a lot of value. So if you know, why wouldn't you trade your backup tight end, regardless of how necessary he is towards your offense? And he was mostly a blocking type tight end. If you can get a good second round pick in return, you know, that's a pick that is going to go in the 40s, and there's a lot of good receivers in this this draft.
Well, here's my question to you guys then. I don't want to take over Dara's job here, but given that we just established Tom Brady is going to be more than likely average or better next year, he's not going to be terrible. Drew Brees is in an established team that's added more weapons, and Bridgewater, like, he only played, what was it, six games last year. He's going to a new team that wasn't brilliant last year. That might take him time to get on his feet. And Matt Ryan was on a terrible team last year, and they've added some pieces, but you wouldn't say, like, Todd Gurley's been injured. He didn't look the same last year. Dante Fowler had a limited role with the Jaguars last year, and Hayden Hurst played well. So is it really between the Saints and the Patriots? Because in my head, it is. In my head, it's the Saints get through all day long, and it's about whether Tom Brady can pull through enough wins to get one of those new extra playoff spots.
I love how you were talking about Tom Brady and you went to the Patriots.
Patriots,
by the way.
Yeah, not the Bucks.
The Patriots anymore, dude. Get with the times, bro.
Now at this point.
Yeah, I think it's very firmly Tampa Bay and Saints. The Panthers, I think, unless they have a really good draft, they're still missing a few good. The Falcons, I think, I don't rate them at all. I think Todd Gurley's never, ever going to have the production that he did. His knees are fucked, basically. I don't think that's a good signing for Atlanta, actually, just while we're on that. I think they either should have stuck with Devonta Freeman or try to shop for another running back. I think Todd Gurley has, like, his stock is going down. Like, real low. Like, if you look at his production, like, pre-injury and after, and his knees just degrading, I'm pretty sure he has, is arthritis, I think he has. It's not worth it. Like, it's not a good long-term investment for the team. I don't think they're going to get, like,
How much money is he on? Do you have that in front of you?
It's only like a $5 million one-year deal.
That's a bargain. You take that every, even if he only gives you less than 1,000 yards, that's a bargain. You don't a cheap as chips running back with that kind of pedigree, whether he's coming off a good year or a bad year. In my
best running teams last year didn't have a star running back, and no star running back signing has worked. Example grata. Le'Veon Bell in the Jets. But no, NFC South, I think it's the Saints. But the Falcons' problem is not the offense. The offense has taken care of itself for a long time. The problem is the defense. They've been terrible for years under Dan Quinn, so I don't know how you fix that. I don't know if there's any quick change. I don't know if one more guy in the defensive line fixes it. Obviously, it's a good signing, but I don't know if that fixes the defense. They have they need linebackers badly, and they need to reinforce the secondary badly. So I think the Falcons are going to get blown out a lot, and Matt Ryan is going to throw, you know, for 300 yards often, but I don't think it's going to be enough. But yeah, it's definitely going to be Saints first, and then the Buccaneers in 7th, 8th place working for a wild card spot. I don't think with how stacked the NFC is, I think it's going to be hard. But yeah, definitely like the Saints on top. The Panthers, this smells like a rebuild to me. And Bridgewater is a good quarterback, and we can get to it. He's a good quarterback, and he can win, and he can give you eight and eight seasons. He's not a get to the playoffs quarterback, sadly, particularly not with the Panthers roster. Which, you know, he's a great guy and everything, but he's not world class quarterback. He's a poor man's version of Kirk Cousins, and you know that's not a compliment.
Well, Kirk Cousins is a poor man version of a quarterback, so you're really not.
We're starting to compound here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all in agreement then with that. I think it is Saints first. We didn't mention it yet, but I think a big signing is getting Emmanuel Sanders to back up Michael Thomas in the wide receiver spot.
That's a huge signing. Anytime you can get two legitimate threats for a defense to have to worry about, you can't double team everybody. Michael Thomas is so good, and Emmanuel Sanders as well has that experience from the 49ers last year of not, he's a great wide receiver, but he wasn't necessarily that number one guy. So he's used to being that second guy that work in and around the slot, go deep when he has to. He's a very versatile wide receiver. I think that's an absolutely brilliant signing to go along with Michael Thomas.
Is that the kick that the Saints need to get, like, obviously they're a playoff team, is that the kick they need to get further in the playoffs? Because they always seem to, like...
No, well, it's been their defense that's been the problem. Not a problem. It's been their defensive side of the ball. It's been stopping the other team scoring, not them scoring. They have so many weapons. They've got Thomas. Now they've got Sanders. They've got the gadget quarterback, Hill. They've got Breeze. Like, I don't know how much they need. The defense is not terrible either, but just in those really big games, you need one stop. And the last couple of years, they just have not been able to do that one stop. Whether it was a penalty or not, I don't think we have time to go into on a podcast. We'd need a whole year's worth. But you know what I mean? You need that one stop to get you there. It hasn't been the offense, in my opinion, that's been the problem.
Yeah.
Remember the Minnesota Miracle? Remember who was trying to make the tackle? That guy doesn't have a job anymore. Who has a job right now with the Saints? Malcolm Jenkins and DJ Swearinger. Those are two legit safeties that are going to have next year. Yeah. That's going to change the whole defense. They have a dangerous defensive line. They're going to get defensive people in the draft, and Breeze is going to do their thing. They're going to win eventually, dude. Eventually.
They're too good for too long. They need to start putting together. Really, they need to start winning these things.
Yeah. Well, perfect. So we'll move on then to possibly the most surprising trade, but for the Iridians, it maybe not the most surprising trade so far of this free agency window. And that's, of course, DeAndre Hopkins moving to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for running back David Johnson. A 2020 second round pick and a 2021 fourth round pick. People have talked as well about Bill O'Brien, the fact that he's doing both jobs, thinking he is the second coming of Bill Belichick because he worked under him for a while. This thing with the Texans is just going to get so much worse before it gets better, or am I the only one thinking that?
I have a daylight robbery by the Cardinals, in my opinion. Like, fucking daylight robbery. Like, I couldn't get it through. I'm not a Texans fan, not a Cardinals fan. I just couldn't believe it. It's such a, unless Bill O'Brien has some weird, convoluted plan up his sleeve, I don't see why. Like, I mean, if you really want to shop a receiver, you have Kenny Stills, Will Fuller. I just don't see any upside in getting rid of D-Hop, to be honest. Like,
I don't think
I have can a very even... I have a very boring take on this, so I'm gonna stay till the end.
Okay, well, I will take the Arizona Cardinals side here. We can argue about Hopkins and why he left and how he left, but I'm not so sure. I mean, he's a great signing. You take him every day of the week, and especially what you got him for. Johnson hasn't done a whole lot the last year. You can replace a running back in the draft much easier than you can a productive wide receiver like Hopkins. But I think, having said that, that also means that the Cardinals don't have a second guy, a second option. I don't think Larry Fitzgerald can do that job anymore. I think he's a slot receiver at best. He will catch the ball when you throw it to him. He's a check down. He's a more dynamic tight end at the moment. But I just don't think Hopkins makes the Cardinals a threat for sure. Because, like we were saying with the Saints a minute ago, where you have now three or four threats that the defense has to deal with and you can't double everybody, I think the defenses are just going to double Hopkins. And then the Cardinals offense looks exactly like it did the last year. And we all know that wasn't very good. So good trade for them, but it's not going to turn them into playoff contender. That's for sure.
On the Cardinals receivers, Andy Isabella, I think, is a very underrated receiver. If you look at the Cardinals last year, his route running is superb. But obviously, that Cardinals D line, Kyler Murray doesn't have the time to get it to him. So I think if they keep Hopkins, and Isabella, and they just go pure O line for the draft, and obviously some defense, their defense was shocking. If you give Kyler Murray the time, and you've got obviously Larry Fitzgerald slowly, like he's not what he used to be. You have two deep threats like Isabella and Hopkins, who are also dynamic route runners. And then Kyler Murray, and then you have all the attention going to Hopkins. I think Andy Isabella can have a really good season. He can really develop as one of the top receivers.
No, and I think you just put your nail in your own argument in that you just said, let's go all offensive line for the draft. And I think if you want to build a really good offensive line, you got to go through free agency. Obviously, in the draft, no matter what position, you don't know what you're getting. But how many rookie offensive linemen do you see walk in and take over, especially when you just said they need a whole offensive line? It's not one guy that they need to shore up. So I still back my opinion in that they're still in trouble. This doesn't get them anywhere, and there's a lot to fix for the Cardinals team.
Let me piggyback off that. You can get and all respect to DeAndre Hopkins. He's a top three receiver in the league. Okay, but you can get good receivers. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no shortage of very great receivers. The Chargers have three. The Rams have another two. Everybody has one or two very good receivers. Okay, you know what's very hard to get? Good QBs and good left tackles. Mm-hmm. And with DeAndre Hopkins, when you have a top three receiver and you know that he's great, but he doesn't really help you win that much, because receivers don't help you win. Defensive ends don't help you win. You know, J.J. Watt was at the top of his game. He wasn't worth a point. Right?
Yeah.
You'd rather, if you're the Texans, you say, okay, this guy's in the last year of his contract. I'm going to have to pay him. If I don't pay him right away, this guy may hold out. And I don't want to have to go through that. So let me just move him, because I don't want to pay him. Because I'm going to pay my quarterback, and I'm going to pay Laremy Tunsil. There's like four good left tackles in the league. Laremy Tunsil is one of them. And they got him from the Dolphins for pennies. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you're going to pay those two guys. I don't mind you moving a great wide receiver, because I know that you can get 80% of that, 70% of that in the draft. In a second round pick. Now, David Johnson, that guy's watched. You're not doing it for David Johnson. You're just doing it for the second round pick and to move a guy that you're not gonna pay anyway. Now the Cardinals have two things: cap space and patience. D-Hop doesn't have to work this year. He can work for the next four, and they're gonna sign him to a fantastic contract that he wants. So he's gonna play next year, and then he's gonna play the next three, probably for the Cardinals. But the Texans are not in that position. If I was the Texans, I'd be a lot more worried about my quarterback posting Drake lyrics on Instagram, talking crap about my coach and fixing that relationship. That is something that they cannot afford to lose. If they lose Deshaun Watson to free agency next year, they're done. And Bill Ryan.
I completely agree with you. And to that point, if I'm the owner of the Texans, Bill O'Brien's gone before Watkins' gone. That's for sure.
Is it?
I wouldn't be mad at that. Yeah.
Do you think that it could be time then instead of taking the step to get rid of Bill O'Brien, but to take the GM role off him and to actually hire a GM to look after these football decisions so he can focus more on coaching and, like you're saying, restoring his relationship with Deshaun Watson?
Look, I don't think the problem, I don't have to love every deal. I think he could have gotten more value. I don't feel like it was a robbery, but maybe he could have gotten a first. And that's where you say, okay, so if you were more focused on just running a team instead of running a team and coaching, would you have gotten a better deal? But it doesn't matter. They had to move him eventually for whatever. So, you know, I don't have to love every deal and I don't love this deal, but I get it.
I mean, I agree with Nick, but I just feel like if you're gonna take one role off him, I think if you're star wide receiver and now your star quarterback are starting to get itchy and starting to leak to the media all the stuff they don't like about you, that's not because you're doing two roles. That's because they don't like your coaching. They're not getting grumpy because you're a bad GM. They're getting grumpy because you're a bad coach, or you deal with them as a coach, not as a GM. So I'd nearly be tempted, if you're going to take one of the roles off them, I'd be taking the coaching role off them. I think that's the easiest, quickest fix is Bill O'Brien is no longer your head coach. Get someone else in. There's someone brand new. The guys always kind of rally around someone new. There's a lot of talent on that roster. You don't have to hire some wizard who's got to make something work without any talent on that roster. Darrell already mentioned the other wide receivers they already had, the other talent, the offensive line. The defense is pretty good. You've still got that man Watt at the end. He's still banging sacks every year. So my fix would be get rid of Bill O'Brien.
Okay. And the thing from the ownership perspective is nobody wants to suck.
Yeah.
There are going to be very few teams that will suck this year. I think the Jaguars will suck. But the Texans quietly have been winning their division 4 out of 5 years, and they've been consistent. And now you say, hey, imagine a team where you have J.J. Watt, you know, Clowney, you have a great quarterback, you have good weapons. You know, what does that team do when you say, oh, win the Super Bowl? And they've been underperforming from that perspective, but they've been very competitive. So now, do you fire Bill O'Brien? Do you have a better replacement for him? That's the problem, you know, where you say, hey, I know I have average, but I don't know if I can get better. So I'm just stay with average, because the one thing I don't want to be is I don't want to be terrible.
All right. So you mentioned there that you would have liked a first round pick for Hopkins if you could have got one. One wide receiver that did get a first round pick was Stephon Diggs, who's now going to the Buffalo Bills. I'll get your guys' opinion off that in a second, but for me, I think that's kind of a wasted pick myself personally, because Diggs is a great deep threat, but I think Josh Allen is not a great deep ball thrower. He's very inaccurate. I think he was second worst in terms of accuracy for long balls last year. So I don't think that this is going to work in the way that most people would like it to, or would think that it will. But what do you guys think on Stephon Diggs going to the Bills?
Well, one thing about the business of the NFL is that whenever you get a trade, and many people miss this, when you get a trade of a player for draft picks, you're really selling the remainder of the length of the contract. So you could only get a second for Hopkins, because the guy has 1 year left and you have to resign him this year or he will hold out. So the relative value of the contract goes down. Diggs has 2 more years in his contract, so he got a first, a fourth, and a fifth. Allen came into the league as, you know, the biggest arm since Big Ben. right? And that was a big buzz about him. So if you can make it better and accurate, and he did pretty well last year. Plus, he's going to do a lot better this year with Brady out of the out of the division. So, you know, if you do really do believe in this guy as a gunslinger and he can throw 50 yards on the field, I don't know why you wouldn't give it to Diggs. That's the guy that you would want in the, on running the sideline.
Yeah, see, I agree with Nick. I think that deep threat that Diggs is known for. You already referenced the miracle, the Minnesota miracle earlier. Yeah, you're right that the accuracy isn't necessarily there. I think coaching can definitely make the accuracy better. But when you got the running game that the Bills do and the running game that Allen brings, and you're throwing those deep balls off of play action, I think that you're no longer having to throw a deep ball into a basket. You're just throwing a deep ball out to one side of the pitch and letting that man go run underneath it. So I could actually see it working out pretty well for the Bills. I think it's a pretty nice signing. I don't have anything against how much they gave up from. I think he's probably worth a first-round pick if you compare him to any of the wide receivers you're coming out. He's a known quantity. He's a very good known quantity, and he's done it for a couple of years. So I have no problem with this trade. I think that's a very good trade for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I agree with what everything's been said there. But one thing I if you look at some of Josh Allen's like just his first season and even some of his college games, there's a good few plays where he waits for the deep ball. He even when the pocket collapses, he'll still run around. He'll lose. He'll go backwards. He'll always wait for that deep ball. And obviously, Stephon Diggs is a huge deep threat. So will that amplify him waiting around and possibly giving up big plays because he wants the deep ball too much because he knows he has the arm? Obviously, he has the scramble potential, but there was, I forget which match it was. So I think it was his first season anyway, where it was like 10 to 15 yard loss because he was obviously, it's good to keep your eyes downfield, but he was trying so hard for the deep ball and he didn't want to check down or he didn't want a shorter route. He really wanted that kind of the big play, the chunk play, and it cost him in the end. And I think that's going to be amplified when he knows that he has somebody like Stephon Diggs. So he thinks that it's going to like work out in the better for him, that if he waits around longer, that he's going to have that opportunity more, but it's just going to cost him on those plays.
Oh, I think here's where you trust your offensive coach, that you trust him no matter who your wide receivers are. You're going to teach him how to do his reads, how to read the ball, and quarterbacks that make it, that stick around those first couple of years, they start to develop that. The game starts to slow down. They start to develop that protect the ball mentality. Not that they don't start pushing it down the field, but when you're the rookie, you're coming in, you're going to try and wow and dazzle everyone. When you got to like get through your rookie deal, now you're on a nice long contract, you feel nice and secure, you're going to get down, you're going to start honing your craft. So I'm not so worried about that, to be honest.
Yeah, he's a young dude. He's gonna grow into his boots and learn to play the position. And he did well last year, and the division just opened up for him right now.
The Bills must be the happiest people to be honest with the Brady trade. I think they're now favorites in that division.
Yeah, of course, definitely. I think they've got the AFC East locked down, but. I think, obviously, we're not on the Dolphins yet. The Dolphins have a lot of... They're making really big moves, and they have a huge draft coming up. So I think it's going to be a battle between the Bills and the Dolphins. It depends how the Dolphins' draft goes and depends how their OT or their preseason goes. See if all those big moves that they've made actually glue together and if they can get like production out of that.
Well, what we'll do is we'll talk about... We were going to move on to the Dolphins in a minute, but we'll move on to them now. They've signed... A lot of players. We've got Kyle Van Noy, Byron Jones, Jordan Howard. Obviously, they have, I believe it is a pick number 3 this year in the draft. Yeah. So there is talk that they might try and trade up to try and go for number 1 because they're interested in Joe Burrow. What do you guys think? Do you think that Joe Burrow is the guy that's going to be going to the Dolphins?
No,
or would you hang on and maybe get 2 on that?
He's an Ohio kid. He's an Ohio kid. The Cincinnati Bengals are not smart enough to trade down. If you were the Cincinnati Bengals, you would trade down, get one of, you know, Justin Herbert or Tua, and you would just let Joe Burrow go. Why? Because, you know, with the way that the team is currently set up, Joe Burrow is set up to fail, particularly in that division. But the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't think, are smart enough to do that. The Dolphins are probably going to take their pick of Tua or Herbert and are going to have to take it from there.
I agree with Nick. The obviously good move for the Bengals would be to trade down and take a not necessarily a lower grade quarterback, but a quarterback that better fits their division and their team. But I think they're just gonna go for the obvious pick for them and go for Joe Burrow. I think the Dolphins are gonna end up with Tua, but just their picks. They have 14 picks this draft, 3 first rounders, and 6 picks in the top 100 picks. That's a lot of. You can get a lot of talent with all that. They've done a really good tank, and they pulled off a lot of good trades. So that's why I was bringing it back to if they have a really good draft, I think they can put the Bills to the test for the AFC East.
I completely disagree with absolutely everything. I think they sold their soul this year. Everyone was astounded by how bad they are. They're picking top 5 this year. They're definitely picking top 5 next year as well. This draft, those 14 picks, unless every single one of them is Minka Fitzpatrick, who's the only decent player for the last 10 years. The Dolphins have a terrible mentality. They have a terrible organization. They scrapped the whole lot last year, and it does not that fast. I think 100% the Dolphins are going to be terrible this year, and they were terrible last year. Terrible next year as well.
So at least they, Brian Flores signed half of the Patriots' defense.
I mean, that'll help a little bit.
That'll help a little bit. I don't think the offense is going to be any good. I think that's what we're saying. They're going to struggle. There are good defense. Here's one thing about that division. There are good defenses. The Patriots are going to be okay. The Jets are good, and the Bills are very good. And now the Dolphins, Shaq Lawson, couple linebackers from the Patriots, Roger Hill. They're gonna be competent, okay. But if you cannot do it in the offensive end, outdoors in Miami, good weather, if you cannot get it done on that end, I think they're gonna struggle, which is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, that's why they can afford to get the kid out of Oregon and just grow him for a couple of years.
That's kind of my point. It came off very extravagant there, but what I'm saying is they bought into this rebuild. Rebuild is never finished after 1 year. The management of the Dolphins won't be panicking, but I just don't see how they go from how bad they were to how good you guys expect them to be. They have to be in the top 5 picks again this year based on the free agent signings. They're decent, they're not good enough, and I just don't think, no matter how many picks in the draft you have, one draft never fixes, unless they go like the Cowboys did that year where they picked 7 future Hall of Famers. That's the kind of draft the Dolphins need to be anywhere in contention this year.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go through a couple of more teams. We'll start with the Vikings, who are seemingly just kicking everyone out the door at the moment. Like we were speaking about Stephon Diggs a little while ago. Emerson Griffin is gone. Linval Joseph gone. Are you worried for the Vikings? Kirk Cousins, I should say, just signed a new 2-year deal or 2-year extension. Are you worried for what's going to be happening? Is this going to be a transition for the Vikings now? Or are they still going to be all right next season?
I think the Kirk Cousins extension is a bad move for the Vikings. I think he's better. He's performing better than he was with the Redskins in the short term, anyway. But I don't see why. I think they should have tried to trade up or shop for a quarterback in free agency. I don't see if I'm managing the Vikings, I don't look at Kirk Cousins and think that's the future of this team. He's a starter. He's not a franchise quarterback in my eyes.
It's better. He's better than the replacement. That's the whole thing. And yeah. For 25 milli, you may spend that money. Now, are they going to be contenders next year? I don't think so. But here's the thing, right? And we know that the NFC is going to be competitive. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to win that division. But the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions are tire fires. Okay.
Yeah.
So knowing that, the Vikings may be a borderline wild card team next year. So you say, okay, I'm gonna move my defensive keys. I'm gonna move off my number one receiver. And you go, okay, we're gonna have to rebuild eventually because you know we missed our window, and we realized that our quarterback wasn't cutting it. But having that 2-year bridge is a bridge where all of a sudden you don't suck, because one thing that this guy gives you is, you know, he's not terrible, and that's better than half the league. So knowing that, you can take a couple of years. You can go 8-8 and 6-10. And then you can pick someone up in a couple of years' time and maybe have him do, you know, a year bridge like Alex Smith did. Yeah. That's dream scenario.
The reality is Kirk Cousins is one of the biggest bottlers at quarterback we've seen for a long time in terms of
fact.
His talent level. And I say this with a severe amount of prejudice being a Redskins quarterback and having to watch him for the last 5 or 6 years. But he'll beat the teams he's supposed to beat. Like Nick said, he's better than half the league. He's a decent starting quarterback. But somebody mentioned earlier on about a playoff quarterback. And when you find a playoff quarterback, you've got to keep him. And Kirk Cousins isn't a playoff quarterback. I have not seen many NFL games live in my short life. I did get to go and see the Redskins play the Giants. Last game of the season, I think it was 2 years ago, the Giants were out of contention. The Redskins had to win to get into the playoffs in the freezing cold, and Kirk Cousins just couldn't do it. And I think that's kind of the story of his career. It had been a story across a lot of social media. He won that game against the Saints. He ran into the locker room like he normally does, shouting some gibberish at some media members, getting a few laughs. But the reality is, doing it once doesn't warrant being this standout quarterback guy that the Vikings wanted to pay him the money. He's getting the same money this year as Tom Brady's going to get. And I'd rather have Tom Brady for all the limitations we already discussed he brings. I just don't rate Kirk Cousins as a quarterback whatsoever.
So, Fionn, you're telling me that you don't like that?
I don't like that whatsoever.
You don't like that. Okay.
That was a game after, like, beating the Bengals or something in the regular season that meant absolutely nothing. You can shove that war cry wherever you want to put it. You're not doing that. If you're not telling me that walking off the pitch of the Super Bowl, I don't care.
I like that.
Okay, fair enough. We'll move on. Well, actually, no, we'll stick, since we're talking about Kirk Cousins, we'll stick with a former team of his, and we'll go to the Redskins.
The Deadskins.
they have picked up a few people, like Kendall Fuller, Thomas Davis, Kyle Allen just yesterday as well. So it looks like it's going to be Haskins 1, Kyle Allen 2. What, Keane, you are the Redskins fan. What are you expecting for the rest of free agency and coming into the draft?
Well, I mean, we're one step above the Dolphins, to be honest, in my opinion. We were not good last year. We have enough talent on the squad to be better next year. We were getting better at the end of last year. The additions have been good. I agree with where they targeted. We are really bad against the run. We are generally bad on defense. So getting Kendall Fuller, he's a dependable cornerback. He's not a world beater, but he's very dependable, better than Josh Norman, who got roasted on every snap he played for the Redskins. I don't know how he stayed around so long. I like Thomas Davis. He's a good leader. Massive problem we had last year was the communication on the defense. Almost every play you had guys running around, being pushed around at the spot they're supposed to be. He's a perennial captain, played for the Panthers, played really well for the Chargers last year. He's going to settle that down a little bit. Look, they're not going to push us into the playoffs, I don't think, with the Eagles and the Cowboys. We'll certainly be better than the Giants, I would hope. We'll certainly be better than we were last year. They are nice improvements. They're trending in the right direction and they're doing it right. They're not trying to fix everything in one go. They're not selling everyone to try and rebuild completely. Brandon Sheriff is going to be signing him to a franchise tag. That's going to be really important. If we can sign one other marquee guy, I know we got a guy off the Falcons. I don't really know much about him on the offensive line. If we can make the offensive line a little bit better, I would hope we start picking in the mid rounds, in the middle of the round this year. That'd be my most optimistic opinion of our season, to be honest.
The quarterback situation in Redskins, I have a question for you, Sean.
Yeah.
Who, for your opinion, who do you think would better suit, especially with now Riverboat Ron being the head coach there, yeah, Kyle Allen or Dwayne Haskins?
Oh, 100% Dwayne Haskins. You don't give the Carolina Panthers a fifth round draft pick for Kyle Allen if he's going to be your starting quarterback. That's 100% a trade for a solid, dependable backup. We have had some horrific problems with injuries last year. I don't know how many quarterbacks have taken snaps for us over the last couple of seasons. So you need that solid backup. Kyle Allen did literally that last year. He played pretty well at the start, dropped off a little bit at the end. But no, it's 100% Haskins. I like Haskins. I think he'll, like Nick said earlier, his management just want to be not bad. I think he's definitely going to be not bad next year. There's going to be improvement on what we had with Kirk Cousins. I'm not sure. He'll probably end up being somewhere similar in that he's a good player. He's going to win us the games he should win. He might win us the odd game we shouldn't win. But I don't think he's a playoff quarterback.
Interesting.
Yeah. Can we talk about how the most important signing out of everything that the Redskins have done is Ron Rivera?
I think so. I think he brings an excellent attitude, and I think the players really like him as well.
He's an adult. He's going to set up a new culture. He's an alpha guy. Brings in Thomas Davis, who was his leader in, I think, Fiona, you said, you know, was his leader in the Panthers. Took that team to a Super Bowl. Changes the whole culture. Starts with linebackers and the offensive line to stabilize the situation. And, you know, the base case scenario for the Redskins right now is that Dwayne Haskins will work in that division, and I don't have a reason not to think that.
Yeah, I think you touched on something really good. I think the best signing the Redskins could make at the moment is one you'll never hear of, and that is scrap all of the medical staff and go hire some doctor out of Johns Hopkins University or something, because if you're an organization and your best lineman refuses to play for you because of the medical treatment he got, and when you're the top team for injuries 3 years in a row and you're setting records for the amount of IR players you're placing on IR, there's a serious problem there. And I hope Ron Rivera addresses that, but I have a good feeling he probably will.
That's a brilliant point I wanted to bring up. The Redskins, like, I was just reading earlier that Trent Williams has gone public. Everybody knew it was coming for a while. He's gone public with a demand to be traded. But just with new players coming in and like trades, like being able to trust the medical staff after seeing like Trent Williams. I think if Ron Rivera reforms the medical staff and the Redskins can get rid of their injuries, I think they can become a contender in the NFC, NFC East. But my Eagles now also racked with injuries. It's like, between them, it's been an injury battle the past 2 years. So, and with the loss of Trent Williams as well, you're losing protection for Dwayne Haskins.
He had to play with that last year anyway. He didn't play a single snap last year. So,
that's correct.
Yeah. We get a replacement that'll make it better, but I think that's the minimum Haskins is used to. So, I wouldn't be too concerned about that.
Somebody call RG3 and ask him if Trent Williams offer any protection at all.
Yeah, well, it's hard to ask Trent Williams to protect you when you're halfway down the pitch and you're not sliding when someone's diving at your knees.
Ooh, got defensive there.
Yeah.
No, but this is what happens when we talk about our teams. But we'll move on and we'll talk about... we'll talk about the Seattle Seahawks. They have, well, up until yesterday, they haven't actually really done a whole lot in free agency. They'd signed any O-lineman that was available or played in the league within the last 5 years that was a free agent. They brought back Bruce Irving as well. And then just yesterday, they completed a trade. Fifth-round pick for Quinton Dunbar from the Washington Redskins. PFF had him graded, actually, as the second-best corner last season behind one Richard Sherman. There's obviously a lot of talk about the Jadeveon Clowney deal, if he's going to re-sign or not. But in terms of additions heading into the draft, do you guys like what the Seahawks are doing?
I can tell you one thing from what I've saw, Dunbar is a really good signing. Very similar to the one we made to get Kendall Fuller, and I would have really hoped we could keep that pair together. I think that would instantly make our coverage better. So I know you're a Seahawks fan, and so is Nick. So for you guys, I really like that signing. I was only about to say when you started talking about them, I don't think I've heard it. A single thing about the Seahawks so far. So I actually don't know the kind of roster moves they've made. I can't comment beyond that. But if I'm a Seahawks fan, I'm happy enough with getting Quinton Dunbar. I don't think he gave up too much from with it. What was it, a 4-round pick or 5th-round pick? That's a bargain. Solid. Even if he becomes the second guy, or even your first guy. I guess if you're saying PFF grades him as the second best cornerback in the league, you put him man to man. I would be if he's at that level, but he's certainly a really good quarterback or cornerback for the NFL.
Yeah, great value, you know, if you trust PFF and obviously on the field, you know, that guy is worth a fifth round pick all day, you know, and it's only upside. I will have to have a look at the contract and see how it's set up, but definitely good signing. Why the hell is Greg Olsen still playing in the NFL?
He's a terrible commentator, that's why.
Yeah, but I mean, why would you do that to yourself?
You can make the same point. Why is Jason Witten still playing? Like, is he? Did you? Yeah, he signed for the Raiders. He's on a 1-year deal with the Raiders. Did you see that man run last year for the Cowboys? It was a slow jog on it was pitiful to watch. But yeah, Greg Olsen to the Seahawks. I don't see the point really. Like as Nick Bro said, like why is he still playing?
The Jimmy Graham experiment didn't work, right? You don't overpay tight ends if you're the Seahawks. Yeah. You have a young guy. He's going to be Greg Olsen's going to be a backup. He's going to be a second guy. The Seahawks offense, number one team in using 6 offensive linemen, that takes away one tight end. He's not going to get on the field often. Why do you pay $7 million for the guy? I don't get it.
I just think it's. The only reason why I can see that they brought in Olsen is because obviously they value Disley quite highly, and I think what we've seen of him so far is that he can be a good tight end. But the problem is he's had 2 really big injuries in his first 2 years in the league, and the backups that they had last season didn't really step up to the mark. Now Jacob Hollister played quite well at stages. But I think they need someone who's going to be dependable because they still have Ed Dixon on the roster and he hasn't played nearly, well over a year at this stage probably. So they need someone who's going to be reliable, and I think that's what they saw with someone like Greg Olsen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Jacob Hollister is more a gadget receiver than he's a blocking tight end. He didn't do well, blocking for the run. So... Greg Olsen isn't that guy either. He's just a more mature, more proven version. But we'll see. I could be completely wrong. Bruce Irving coming back. He was good when he was here, but that was 5 years ago. We'll see how he does. He had some success with the Raiders, but again, not fantastic. And the offensive line signings, someone will work. I guess that's the bottom line. The biggest signing for the Seahawks, I hope it's a non-signing, and I hope they ship Jermaine Ifedi back to wherever he came from.
Well, he's now a free agent, so they're not offering him anything, so he's gone. He's not coming back.
I'm so happy, man. I'm so happy. I, I'm really looking forward to seeing who's gonna sign him and who's gonna suffer through that. I'm gonna enjoy it really.
Just actually, while we're on the topic of free agent O linemen, Jason Peters, free agent. He's 38. I don't see any team signing him. He played Eagles last year, obviously. It was so frustrating watching him as an Eagles fan because the amount of penalties, the amount of false starts, I think the age is really getting to him. I don't think he has a spot on any team. I maybe see the Seahawks giving him a quick 1 year deal. I don't see any long term contract for him.
But,
no. I don't think so. Not especially if you've got someone like Dwayne Brown there who's coming back again this year. And they have a Jamarco Jones there who can play on the left side as a backup as well. I don't think they've gotten rid of someone who just gave away penalties on almost every play in Jermaine Fetty. I don't think they want to go back to that now with someone like Peters.
I mean, when you get 38, you get grabby and you're not athletic anymore. And you try to get an edge, whatever you want. That's where those penalties happen. Where he's going, I don't know. You know, there's no. He may be hyper frustrating, but if he's a competent left tackle, which he is, he may be a top 15 guy in the league, and he may get a contract somewhere if he still wants to play.
No, I think he should hang up the boots. In my opinion, the amount of penalties. It was awful.
You know where he's going to go. He's a clear, like, Raider signing. You've got to put him and Incognito on the same side. It'll just be disastrous, but it'll be fun to watch as well.
Isn't that what the Raiders are?
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Exactly.
that's their whole motif now in Vegas. It's just fun to watch.
Now that you mentioned the Eagles, Dara, we'll finish with the Eagles. Their big acquisition so far has been Darius Slay, who is now the highest paid cornerback in the league. Do you believe he should be the highest paid cornerback in the league, and are you happy with the acquisition?
I love the signing. I really do. Obviously, one of the Eagles, they have two glaring problems at the moment, secondary and wide receivers. I'll get to wide receivers in a sec, but secondary has been, it's just been fucking abysmal. The season prior, we gave up, I believe, 3 fourth and long conversions, like fourth and really long. I believe on the Panthers winning drive against us, their fourth quarter comeback, they converted a 4th and 15. And it's because our god-awful secondary and Jim Schwartz. I'm not a huge fan of Jim Schwartz. He plays prevent defense way too much, and that, like, it just giving them space with, like, we have very little man-to-man corners. So he tries to play zone far too much, and I think with something like a lockdown corner like Darius Slay, I'm happy with. But I would see the payment. Yes, he deserves. I'm just gonna go out and say, yeah, I think he deserves to. Nick's showing us something here. Philip Dorsett, Nick, do you want to chip in there with Philip Dorsett?
Yeah, Justin, the Seahawks signed Philip Dorsett to a 1 year contract.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I think from his numbers in the past few years, from his production at the terrible organization like the Lions, I think he's worth the money. Definitely an improvement, a fair improvement on the Eagles secondary. But on the Eagles secondary as well, I was almost in tears. The loss of Malcolm Jenkins, he was one of the bright stars on that Eagles defense over the past few years. Like a good, aggressive, physical safety. It's a really tough loss in my opinion. But I don't think Slay will kind of fill that void of in that need in the secondary. But yeah, on to wide receivers. It's been brutal. I think actually it gives credit to Carson Wentz, in my opinion, that what he was able to do with practically an entire backup roster of wide receivers and practice squad wide. Like, you see Greg Ward has come out from the practice squad to like one of if not the top Eagles receiver. But yeah, I think definitely a defense heavy, not necessarily a defense heavy, more a linebacker heavy draft for us and wide receivers. But yeah, Darius Slay, I think he does deserve the money.
Yeah. Do you guys think the same?
Absolutely not.
Says the Redskins fan.
Yeah, well, probably unsurprising, but just transactionally, like Nick said, well, I guess somebody has to pay has to be the highest paid corner in the league, but Slay played on a pretty terrible team, which means he probably saw an awful lot of snaps, which means he had an awful lot of time to go do something. I don't know how much weight people give to the PFF, but we've already mentioned two other PFF cornerbacks in Sherman and in Dunbar. So I don't know. I mean, why would Dunbar not be there? I don't know what Dunbar signed for. I don't know what the difference is there. I agree with Dara's assessment that Slay certainly does not cover the loss of Jenkins. Now, Jenkins obviously being a safety and Slay being a corner, that's it's not a straight for straight swap, but I think you definitely lost value and talent there. So I would still be a little bit concerned. I think people can gather from the whole conversation so far, I'm a bit of a draft skeptic. I think it's a lot harder to strike gold in the draft than people give credit for. So if you're relying on the draft for your team to be good next year, I think you got some problems. Carson Wentz, I'm a little bit nervous about. He's a good quarterback, but in the past few years, he was a good quarterback and a playoff quarterback. Now, having seen him last year, I'm a little bit more worried. Now, obviously, Dara followed them a lot closer than I did, and he said they were dealing with some terrible wide receivers. But to me, he went from that, oh, God, we have to play Carson Wentz, to, it's only Carson Wentz last season. So I don't know what Nick thinks about that, but that would be my assessment.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at the list of so guys, who's the best cornerback in the league? If you were to point someone out, forget about PFF.
I mean, Darius Slay, right? Like, if you look at just straight production,
who's the guy off the Patriots?
Gilmore.
Oh, actually, yeah, Gilmore. Yeah, what am I saying?
Stephon Gilmore. All right.
Yeah.
So who's the highest paid cornerback in the league? You think, other than Slay?
Is it Ramsey?
No, a guy called Xavien Howard from the Dolphins. Gilmore is the ninth top paid cornerback in the league. If one thing we know, pay doesn't correlate with production or pass production. We're talking about a league where Kirk Cousins gets paid more than Tom Brady. And that's been like that for years. So someone has to pay the top guy, and how you decide to pay the top guy. If you're a team with cap space, there's no difference between paying a guy 12 and 16 million, and you may overbid for a top guy like that just to get him in and make the decision easier and know that you're gonna get him. So that's. You know, that's the only way you explain them paying $60 million for a guy that is a top 10 corner, but he's definitely not the number one guy.
Well, one thing I would like to add before we move on is Dara touched on this in how bad the wide receivers were last year. And I think the epitome of that, well, probably for, I think Dara would agree with me, probably for the last 3 or 4 years, is Nelson Agholor. He obviously left free agency to go to the Raiders, and it has just come out his new contract is literally under the new collective bargaining agreement. He's taken the minimum wage for 1 year to play at the Raiders. So that's how quick your stock can go from number one wide receiver to, I will take a chance if you take these pennies on a Twix.
See, that's like, on some parts, I disagree with people's assessment on Nelson Agholor. Obviously, last season was god-awful. Like, drop passes, fumbles, the whole lot. But the year prior and the year before that, he was a really good, solid wide receiver for Carson Wentz. Like, he's fallen off, but I think he has. Like, he's going to come in, like, with a chip on his shoulder this season, seeing how bad, like, he was judged and criticised. So I think he can... I was kind of upset at the loss of him, to be honest. Like, obviously, he wasn't great last season, but he's still... I think he still has potential as a wide receiver.
Brother, you don't take a veteran minimum contract with the Raiders and full teams if you have options.
Yeah, so I mean...
That signing is 4 a.m. at a bar. There's four people in there, and three are dudes. Okay, I'll let you piece the rest.
There's gonna be a sixth round wide receiver that the Raiders take that's gonna be earning more money than Nelson Aguilar is next year,
and or maybe more productive.
And probably, let's be honest, probably more productive.
That's actually, before we move on, the Eagles wide receiver is actually another worrying aspect. Besides injuries on it last year, there has been locker room drama, as much as they want to deny, and they have came out and denied it. It's just been coming out more and more. Locker room drama between Alshon Jeffrey and Carson Wentz, to the point where Alshon Jeffrey is going to walk.
I wouldn't be too worried about that at all. I think Alshon is far too big for his boots.
He's still a really, I think he's a good wet. If you look at him and Kerstam, on a field, on a football field, they have a good connection. But I'd hate for the locker room and just personalities to clash, because I think he can really, obviously he's the Eagles' top receiver, right now. I really don't rate DeSean Jackson. He's old. He's a deep threat. He made some big plays last year, but I don't like him back on the Eagles, to be honest. I think Alshon Jeffrey should be wide receiver number one, but this is my opinion. So
what type of person do you have to be to have locker room drama with Carson Wentz of all people?
Yeah, he's basically
you have to be an atheist.
not religious.
He doesn't sound like a guy that is confrontational or that.
If you cuss in front of him, he gets confrontational. If you use the Lord's name in vain.
No, come on. The Eagles are going to have to rebuild, okay?
Nick.
They're not contenders, dude. They're the third best team in the conference if the Redskins suck, which they may not. Carson Wentz hasn't done much to show that if he gets hurt this year, they may move on from him.
I think they should. I'm not gonna be like a fucking diehard Eagles fan, the proper pure blood ones are Carson Wentz sucks. And just pure brain dead, who say we should have kept Nick Foles, we should have gave him the money instead of Carson Wentz. Yeah, exactly. There's people who actually genuinely believe that. I don't Carson Wentz, he's injury prone. That's what I think this season will be really defining for him. If he takes another long term injury, I think that's it. I think that's him done with the Eagles, in my opinion.
The Cowboys are gonna be competent and the Giants are gonna be better than we expect. So I'll just leave that there.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're not Redskins at all. No, you're not gonna give them.
They're a wild card, dude. You put any stock on that? Would you put any money on the Redskins right now? I hope they're good.
Absolutely.
They seem to be doing the right things, but they've done that in the past as well, and they've let us down.
Absolutely.
So we'll see.
We'll see. And on that, we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, we're going to be talking about the free agents that are left over and to see where we think they are going to end up.
Hey, guys and gals. It's your boy in the Dynamo, Kelly, speaking. And I've got some good news for you. If you're like me and you're a fan of wrestling, boxing, and MMA merch and memorabilia, there is only one place to go. And that is WrestleMania. Wrestling Mania, Ireland's first and only wrestling shop. It's located at the very top floor of Dublin's St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. You can find Wrestling Mania on Facebook. Follow them on Facebook for the latest updates and what they are selling. It is a case where you may find something that you never thought you might find. Stacks and stacks of magazines, stacks and stacks of collectibles, stacks and stacks of t-shirts, and everything you could want. And get this, if they don't have it in store, they will get it for you. And this is the kicker, they will deliver it right to your front door. So get in touch with Wrestling Mania, and for more details go to Wrestling Mania on Facebook and tell them Ina Dynamo Kelly sent you.
And welcome back to the second half of Dynamo's Dozen with
myself, Dara Maher, still with Dara, Fionn and Nico. We're going to have a look at who is left in the free agent class to pick up. As of today, Cam Newton has joined that list. We spoke a little bit about him earlier on as well. But we'll look at some other names there too. We have the likes of Jadeveon Clowney still available, Emerson Griffin, Jameis Winston, Robbie Anderson, Marcus Golden, Jermaine Ifedi, Eric Reid, just to name a few. Is there any in that list or a list that you've seen yourself in who's available as a free agent do you think that a team needs?
Quarterbacks, I see, like, I think the quarterback scene is pretty full at the moment. I don't see any, like, massive hole for a quarterback. Obviously, the Chargers, maybe?
Jags,
actually, yeah, Jags would be. But see, Gardner Minshew, I think he has a lot of potential.
I think the Jags are going to stick with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I think they should. I think it would be a good move. But, yeah, I'd say the Chargers, anyone with a real, like, hey, we need a quarterback kind of. I'd probably take Jameis over Cam. Just more there. I couldn't really imagine a mobile quarterback like Cam in that Chargers offense.
Keenan Allen probably never get another target again if that was the case.
Mm.
But yeah, I understand that. I don't know what we'd see. It would have to see what comes out with the draft and where various quarterbacks go. I'm not as sold on Minshew as some people are. I still think that there's... I don't know if he is going to be the player that people think he's going to be. He's all right. I think he might be all right, but it depends on what the Jags want to do going forward. Are they all right? Actually, just being an okay team, well then he's going to be fine. If they want,
the Jags
to...
are going to suck next year. The Jags are going to be the one team that is terrible in the league.
I saw something. It was really interesting. Now again, pure speculation, nothing official. But I'd say it's just him. It's unique in Ngakoue, him having fun. There was some post about hey, what if Yannick Ngakoue went to the Eagles? And he liked the post. And after him liking the post, he shared several pictures on his Instagram story of Reggie White and other Eagles outside linebackers and defensive ends. And he liked a few Eagles posts. So I'm not sure if that's him just having fun or if that's him saying to the Jags, hey, do you want to send me over here? But I don't personally, I don't think he would. I wouldn't like him in the Eagles. He's not a need. I don't think we need him. But it's a fun little thing. I think Yannick Ngakoue on the move would be good.
The picture you'd have to give up for Ngakoue alone, and then the contract that you'd have to give him too. I just don't think it would make a viable. I don't even think maybe would the Eagles have enough in cap space to actually give him a new contract either as well.
Oh, I don't think so. And we straight up just don't need a D end. I think we're pretty Brandon Graham. I love him. I think he's a brilliant one of the most underrated. Besides NFC East, fans, people are oh, who's Brandon Graham? He's not, a big name. I think he should be. He's a brilliant defensive end. And just, him and Fletcher Cox, with a forefront, that's all you need. I think Yannick Ngakoue would be a bit, unnecessary, especially for the money that you'd have to pay him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you gotta pay him top five defensive end money. And the Jags are going to do that this year by giving him a franchise tag. But... you know, the Jags are not going to be great. Gardner Minshew is a meme. He hasn't been great. He's been funny and entertaining. But if you want to be funny and entertaining, you're the Las Vegas Raiders. You're not a real team. It's going to be a struggle. But if you ask me, hey, which is the one team that you see going 3-13 this year? That's the Jags. And they're not going to actively try to fix it. They're going to play two games in London and... it's a crap show, you know. Let's move on. Makes me mad.
I tell you who I think could be a very important free agent left, who a guy that on my radar, but just haven't done a bit of research on him for today. Von Bell, formerly of the Saints, the safety. Really good box safety. Runs stuff around, covers tight ends quite well, and we've seen recently that these tight ends have started to become much more of a factor in almost everyone's offense. If I'm I'm looking at that. He's 25 years of age. That's still pretty young for even for a defensive guy. I think he's signed into a 4 or 5 year contract. 40. Now he is ranked pretty high in the NFL's list of free agents. He's number 20, so he's going to expect a payday. But yeah, it could be very interesting.
Yeah, another guy that's available is Mr. Mike Daniels from the Green Bay Packers.
Former Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions. I forgot to mention while we were talking about the NFC North. The Packers seem to be clearing their O-line a good bit. Like, obviously, Mike Daniels last year, and now Brian Bulaga. But they're obviously, they still have stars. They have, Dave Bakhtiari on line. But would that be a bit concerning? Should they pick up a free agent O-lineman? Just to, bit of security?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't even have an opinion there.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Nick.
Let's play this game. Which team picks up Cam Newton? Let's say one team does. Who is that?
That's a tough one.
I'm still saying the Jags. I think that Minshew is going to struggle. They're going to need to look for someone, and I think it's going to be Cam that they're going to go to.
I'm going to say the Chargers in the same way. I don't think their current guy that they have good enough. What's his name? The guy they picked up.
The Chargers are going forward with Tyrod Taylor as their number one.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton offers you more than Tyrod Taylor can give you. And even if he doesn't, I think you get a better deal for Cam Newton's contract, given how he had to leave the Panthers. I think having that year off dropped his significantly. You're not going to get him at it. We discussed already, he's not going to be a backup, we don't think, but you can get him on a cheap starter contract. I think that's worth the risk. If he was accurate, a lot of people don't give him credit for how accurate he was, and accurate quarterbacks can make at the very least manage the game. So I think that could be a landing spot for him.
Okay.
See, the dilemma with Cam Newton, in my opinion, he's, as we've said, he's a character, he's a personality. And he's going to want that starter spot, but I honestly don't see him, unless some unforeseen happens, I don't see him starting in the next 3 to 4 seasons. He's falling off,
There will be a team that will start. There is going to be a team out there that will start.
Yeah. There's too many. There's not enough good quarterbacks to go around. Unfortunately for Mr. Winston, I don't think we could say the same for him. We may have seen his last snaps in the NFL, to be honest with you.
Really?
You think?
That's bold.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't see. Where do you guys see him landing then?
That's the problem. That's what I was going to say, right? So you have three available quarterbacks right now. You have Cam, you have Jameis, and you have Joe Flacco, right? And we're struggling. How crazy is it that we're struggling to find two landing spots for solid quarterbacks in this league, where for so long you've had 10 competitive quarterbacks at any given time? That's crazy. I think, if you rate Cam higher than Jameis, I think, Jameis will find a marginal spot somewhere else. Why not the Raiders? Do you think that Jameis Winston is worse than Derek Carr?
Well, here's the thing I have to say. I think Derek Carr starts the season as the Raiders quarterback, and I don't think he finishes the season as quarterback. I think Mariota's the Raiders finish out the season. I rank Mariota higher than Winston. He was in a tough situation, the Titans. Tannehill knocked him out right when Henry got really hot for an entire season. And that's his problem. So I think Jameis Winston's big problem is he came in the same time as Mariota. So he's they've gone through their rookie deals now, and no one has taught Jameis Winston how to be more accurate with the football. He has never had an accurate season with the football. You can argue Cam Newton, will he run? Does that fit? But the reality is he has put on tape. He has put, I'm an accurate quarterback. Is he guaranteed to be an accurate quarterback next year? No. But definitely I'd take the guy who's shown he can be accurate over the guy who's specifically shown he can't be accurate.
Yeah, but Cam Newton can be accurate 50% of the days. You know, one Sunday he's accurate, next Sunday he's not. So it's okay. So it is the dilemma of the guy who's consistently average versus the guy who any given week based on, you know, his Instagram post and his Mrs. Doubtfire outfit. I don't know, man. I think Joe Flacco retires. One thing that is very interesting is, so the Bengals go and draft a quarterback, which they will. Hopefully, yeah, they'll do it with their first pick. Where does Andy Dalton go?
Patriots. 100% Patriots. He's a perfect fit. He's that quarterback type. He is a less good Tom Brady. He is, again, like I keep banging on about, he is the system quarterback for the system. All along the tubes, doesn't turn the ball over unless he has to. Can play that dink-dunk style. He's got enough years of experience now where he can read a defense. He's not famous for being in the play that you want to be in, but you can definitely guarantee, no, frick him. He's super Bill Belichick. He's pretty quiet. He's pretty humble. That's where my money is on Dalton.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw a few names out there, right? And I want to just give a quick team that you think they're going to go to, okay? And we'll try to get through these as many as we can. I'll go by the top list of free agent signings that are left. So we said Cam. So Jadeveon Clowney.
Seahawks.
Yeah, I think he re-signs.
Okay. Seahawks. I like to think Seahawks as well. Robbie Anders.
Ooh. Who needs a deep threat wide receiver? That's what I want to know.
Broncos.
Broncos, that's not a bad show.
No, I wouldn't say Broncos.
Maybe a sneaky one could be that they the 49ers go grab him and just take a chance on him, slot him in there where Sanders used to be and see if he can make it as a second wide receiver.
Possibly. I don't know why, but I like the who did I have in it? I had an idea for the Jags would probably pick him up if they were to pick up someone like a Cam or a James.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Everson Griffin.
He voided $10 million on the contract he had with the Vikings.
That's the Lions.
You think the Lions?
Yeah, I think just see, if you look at the NFC North, it's big on free agents signing to rival teams. I don't know, I'm not sure if it's just like, it just seems to be like, if you look at it, it kind of correlates with that. But if like the Lions, I think, need like someone on that. They run a three front, do they? Anyway, I think they need that kind of power up front if they're lacking on one thing. See, I see him signing to the Lions just on that basis.
And why not the Packers in that same division, going off your argument? Why not the Packers? They just lost Mike Daniels in the defensive line. They've seen Everson Griffin for too long. Bulaga has nightmares about that guy. Why not the Packers? The Packers are going to be a contender, so why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know. I just think sneakily he'll go to somewhere like, I think, Dallas. I think he's... Dallas have not registered interest, but he has seen, he's been liking and retweeting stuff about him being linked to the Cowboys, so I think maybe that's somewhere where he wants to go.
What about someone quieter, like someone like the Baltimore Ravens? They don't have a whole lot of holes, but defensive line is certainly somewhere they don't have any that marquee name. They might be interested in adding a well-known.
They could be, but I think what they're trying to do is I think they're trying to move on Judon before they can make any moves on that.
Okay.
Yeah, Judon just got tagged. Calais Campbell got traded. They're going to have him for a year in exchange for a fifth-round pick. Now that's a robbery. I think the D-line is going to be all right. With these teams, you know, Ravens and Cowboys, Rams have been free agency heavy. do they even have the cap space to afford a guy like Griffin? But I mean, any contender, Griffin tomorrow makes you better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we go. This is cornerback now. Nickel Roby Coleman.
He's more of a nickel guy.
Pun intended.
Come on, man.
He wasn't impressed. Okay, moving on. Yeah, I mean, yeah, as Nick said, he's a nickel cornerback. I don't think he's a shutdown by any means or like a starter. I'm gonna say the Broncos. Yeah, Broncos. Just kind of seems
they like... just got AJ Boye. So do you think they go?
Oh, actually, yeah. Good point.
They're different. Boye is a guy that takes on the X receiver. He's a man to man guy. Nickel is a nickel guy. So it's a different fit. So what you're looking for is a team that has issues in the secondary that is going to struggle in their division with shifty wide receivers. So why not something like the Saints that know that they're going to have to face Godwin for a couple of times next year? Maybe they will need extra help in the secondary.
Don't think the Saints would take him in after the whole incident with the no call and the pass interference, considering he was the culprit. Might be a bit of tension there, a bit of locker room drama.
Yeah,
I don't know if they'll care so much as long as he's wearing a Saints jersey.
You get what you can.
Exactly. Go with Ndamukong Suh.
Personal opinion? Fuck him.
I would love
the streets.
He's signed to the Redskins.
I hate him as a player. I don't. Yes, he's good. His football talent is good, but his personality is just drives me up the wall. Yeah, I think the Redskins would be a good fit, especially if they go for their predicted draft of Chase Young. That'd be a dangerous front. Yeah, the Redskins seems like a pretty good fit.
Well, I'm just thinking we've got Jerome Payne in there, moved to a four. I really don't like us in a three technique. I know we've got some linebackers there. So maybe, I don't know what Ron Rivera ran in the Panthers. I'm not familiar with it, but definitely we got ran on a lot last year and the year before. So as much as you guys don't like him, I think that attitude, if we can get him for a couple of years, I like Ron Rivera to keep him straight and narrow for a couple of years, still dominating games and dominating the run game in particular. So I would love it if we.
Yeah, look, I mean, Sue is a guy that you hate to play against, but you love to have in your team. So, and then I think he would do well against a more mature coach like Rivera, but he's just played a couple of years under Sean McVay, who is now the most alpha of coaches, and he's done all right. Obviously, he hasn't been the number one guy, but if you're in a division where you have Ezekiel Elliott and you have Barkley, and you're gonna have to stop runs down the middle. You want a guy like Sue that can occupy that A gap.
Then that's perfect. I'll throw a couple of more names. Just stretch for time. This could be an interesting one because I don't think he might not actually end up on a team in general. Eric Reed.
The streets.
I think he's done.
Now, are you putting that to footballing ability, or are you putting that to a certain other thing?
Putting it to his football ability, he hasn't been like what he was. So I think he's just like the greatest engaged, like not necessarily age. I think he's just gone downhill, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, PFF gives him a 36 grade, which is very much below average. So, yeah, you know, he's 28, he's still young, but I don't think he has it anymore. He was good early in his career, but I mean that doesn't mean that he's gonna be good next year. I wouldn't want to.
I'd be signing Kaepernick before I'm signing Reed anyway. Put it like that, lads.
Yeah,
that's.
I don't think there's any chance Kaepernick gets signed, so I don't think that's a good sign for Mr. Reed.
Nick, we'll just ask for you for this actually last one, because I know you mentioned him earlier on. Jermaine Ifedi.
The streets. No, this guy's going to get a job. Look, this guy's going to get a job. There's too many terrible tackles in this league that shouldn't be playing. And Ifedi is, I don't want to say he's competitive, but he's of acceptable quality. He's going to have to go somewhere and take a crappy crappy deal. Why not the Cardinals? You know, the Cardinals have seen it. Young coaching staff. They may be ready to take a flyer on him, something like that. But I mean, he's not top 50. Whatever. He's been starting for the Seahawks for 4 years out of sheer necessity from the Seahawks. I don't think he's a top 50 signing. I don't think he's gonna be relevant for the rest of his career. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just happy.
Well, I see him being used in a jumbo set more than anything. I don't see him actually making any starts at left tackle for a bit behind. I think he's gonna be sent behind or just in a jumbo set.
But I hope he's not playing a left tackle because he's a right. He plays right tackle. I would not want him looking after my quarterback's blind side. No way.
Well, guys, I'll just point out we probably won't make a whole lot of money as NFL analysts, seen as Roby Coleman announced a 2-year deal, $20 million with the Panthers, which is not a team any of us.
No. No analysts on this podcast, Jesus.
Well, I guess that's more just that the Panthers are probably only willing to pay him $20 million.
Yeah, that's not a terrible. It's, if you can afford that, there's worse wide receivers out there you can get burdened with.
Yeah, look, I mean, $20 million for 2 years. We just said this is a nickel guy. This is the guy that you want if you're dealing with 2-3 solid receivers on the other side. And guess what? You have Godwin. The Saints have. Wait, what?
He is a receiver.
We're talking Roby Coleman.
Robbie Anderson.
Oh, never mind. I was thinking Roby Coleman.
Yeah. We had him. Yeah. And just my 10 cent worth on Ifedi. What about the Raiders? I mean, they were on the Hard Knocks. It looked like their offensive line was all over the place. Why not pick up another offensive lineman?
Yeah, you can double down on your weaknesses. That works.
Yeah. That is pretty much what he'd be doing there anyway, if he moves. All right, let's just grant. So we'll actually mention very quickly, because we're a month away from the draft. What, if any, surprises are you expecting? Are you expecting anyone to trade up surprisingly or give away some draft capital? Or are you sort of seeing it the way most people are giving their picks, with Joe Burrow 1, then we're looking at Chase Young, and then maybe 2 or 3?
I would it to happen, but I think if the right trade got the right picks, I can see the Redskins getting number 2. We need a lot of help in a lot of places, and Chase Young is a excellent player, but not our worst position. So I think if they can get a lot of top picks to replace that one, I can see management going. However, management is also terrible, so you never really know what's going to happen there.
Isn't that the main problem? The Redskins straight out of the second for a whole new front office.
Yeah, that would be an excellent move. And unfortunately, I don't think it's the front office we have a problem with. It's the guy who owns the team.
Yeah, that too. Look, I mean, over time, you know, if you look at the teams that have success in the league, You need a great quarterback and a solid team overall. And those are the teams that do very well in the league. You know, top 5 defensive ends don't win Super Bowls. All good defenses do. So I don't know how many picks the Redskins have, but, you know, if you have less than 7 picks, I see them moving out of – I would like them to move out of the top pick and grab a guy, a defensive end that is – 75% of Chase Young.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we got one already in Sweat last year. That's why I'm not so worried about a defensive end. We've got Ryan Kerrigan on the other side in our 3-4 package. he's been able to get after the quarterback in recent years. So we have a lot of problems, but unfortunately, edge rushers are not one of them. So yeah. I think there's more value in this draft for us outside of Chase Young, to be honest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd like the Dolphins in that same vein. I'd like the Dolphins to take those 14 picks and trade up and get Joe Burrow. I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't think the Bengals.
The Bengals won't do it. They're not smart enough. They're not. I don't think they're thinking that long term. They're thinking, look at this nice young stud quarterback. Let's take him first pick. Like, all problem solved. I don't think they're gonna be smart enough, as we discussed earlier, to trade with Miami.
Yeah, how did that work for Carson Palmer? Poor guy. Yeah, look, I mean, I think the mock drafts that we're seeing are going to be pretty close to the truth in a month. We don't know if the draft is going to be in a month. It may get delayed, so we'll see how that works out. I don't know what's going to happen.
All right. Well, that's perfect. Lads, thank you so much for coming on today to talk about free agency and the draft. I hope you guys are looking forward to it, if it does indeed happen, like you were saying. I think it's still going to go ahead, but I don't think they're going to be having any crowds or anything at it. It has to see on how bad things get over there. It's in Vegas this year, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Vegas this year. Oh, yeah, because I remember I saw the idea that they wanted to have, where you take a boat, the draft pick would take a boat to the stage
to Bellagio
when he gets picked.
Imagine how awkward that would be with no crowd, just a quiet boat ride across the stage.
We have a new type on day one who's dropped 12 spots, and you're the only guy left in the green room, and all of a sudden there hasn't been a boat for 2 hours, and your boat gets across it. That's going to be an awfully long boat ride.
It's going to be tough for Roger Goodell to do his photo op with them when he has to be at least 2 meters away. That's going to be a long jersey that they're going to need.
I wouldn't be surprised now if this draft goes old school and there's no players at it at all and they just announce the picks one by one.
Yeah, possibility.
See, I don't think they'll do that because at the end of the day, they're a business. They're very much a corporation. They want, like, there's a certain, like, excitement in it, like the crowd, the fanfare and all that. So I think regardless of the Warriors goes, I think they're going to have something. I still think they're going to have either, like, live cuts to, like, I don't know, like, players at home with their family and stuff like that, or, like, I don't know, maybe it's Vegas, like, fireworks, lights. Like, so I don't think they're going to go too old school with it, to be honest.
Social distancing, brother. Look, we're talking about the richest one of the richest corporations in sports. They're going to find a way to do great production. I'm not afraid about that. It will feel different, but hey, you know, that's also good.
Well, thanks again. Hope you enjoyed it, and thank you as well for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode where Ian will be back in the hot seat. But until then, have a great week and stay safe.